The Holy Gospel according to John, the 15th chapter. Glory to you. There's a big long reading in front of you there. Don't worry. I want to distill this down to a little smaller section. So I'm going to look at the 12th verse. And these are the words of Christ. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask Him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let you take a moment. Close your eyes if you want. And think of your best friend in the world. And then think how you would describe him or her. Okay. How would you describe him or her? Would you describe your best friend in the world in terms of your relationship with them? My best friend is my wife. My best friend is my husband. My best friend is my sister. My best friend is my father. My best friend is my daughter. My best friend is my cousin. Or, have you chosen to describe your best friend in terms of their qualities? My best friend is kind. My best friend is always there for me. My best friend is loving. My best friend is generous. My best friend makes me feel good about myself. Relationship, attributes, all go into friendship. But what is friendship? It's a rather large term, one that's not easily defined. Truth be told, we have many levels of friends. We have acquaintances. These are people we consider friends. Acquaintances are those people that we might know through work, social activities, through others. And these are people we'll see in the supermarket and say hello to, how are you today? We'll make chit-chat with them. Maybe we'll wave to them for driving by and see them walking on the road. We know these people. We don't know a lot about their lives. We don't know a lot about their ambitions. We don't know a lot about their daily activities, but we know them. We know of them. They're acquaintances. The level of friends that we have are our close friends. These are people that are often we consider our buddies. They could be our fishing buddies, they could be our quilting buddies, they could be our work buddies. These are people we share things in common with. Maybe our hatred of the boss. Maybe our love of hunting. Maybe our love of gardening. We choose to do things with them. We'll socialize with them. We'll have fun with them. They're close friends. But we're always a little cautious around them. Because we don't always know just what they think about us. We always keep a little bit of our guard up. In fact, with these kind of people, with our close friends, we'll often test the waters. Before we bear something about ourselves, we'll kind of feel it out first. We'll say, what do you think about that? And if they say, oh, I love it, we'll say, hey, yeah, I love it too. Or we'll say, you know Sally down the street, have you met her? Oh, yeah, she's crazy. Oh, I don't like her either. We feel these people out though, because we're always a little cautious. We're always on our guard. We clean the house before they come over, so they think highly of us. These are our close friends. There's another level of friendship. When I ask you to think of your best friend, this is probably who you thought of. This is the intimate friend. What separates the intimate friend from the acquaintance, from the close friend? The intimate friend is the person that you're truly yourself around. This is a friend that you bear your hopes, your dreams, your fears, your failures, and your successes with. This is a person that comes over your house and you don't worry what she'll think about you if your bathroom's not clean. This is a friend that knocks on the door and you don't worry if your hair is done or not. The intimate friend is the closest friend you have. They are the ones you don't need to feel out. They are the ones you don't need to worry that you might offend. They are the ones that you don't worry that the friendship is fickle. And when it comes to intimate friends, we have very few of them. Truth be told, intimate friends are very hard to make. Because to cultivate that kind of friendship takes a long time. You have to journey with somebody. You have to experience their forgiveness. You have to realize this is somebody that won't abandon you. That this is the kind of friend when the whole world leaves you, this friend comes in. This is a friend that won't judge you. This is a friend that will support you. And this is a friend that will hear you. This is a friend that truly cares about you, that truly loves you. This is the intimate friend. And these friends aren't made overnight. These friends are difficult to find. And that's often why our spouse, or a child, or a family member, like a brother, a sister, a parent, is our closest intimate friend. Because we've had the time of the journey with them. We've shared similar experiences. We've shared the heartbreak of similar loss. We've shared grief together. We've shared joy together. They know we're not perfect because we've lived imperfect lives with them. They do not expect perfection from us. And so we feel we can truly be ourselves around them. This is the intimate friend. So why all this talk about friendship today? Well, today in our gospel reading, as we hear in the gospel of John, Christ calls his disciples and Christ calls us into intimate friendship. Not just to be an acquaintance with God, not just to be a close buddy to God, but to be an intimate friend with God. So what does that intimate friendship look like? We have a pretty good idea in our lives what our intimate friendship looks like with our spouse, our family members, our closest friends. But what does it look like with God? Well, if we jump way back to the beginning of the Bible, we see it in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. God and Adam and Eve are friends. They don't have to put any pretenses on. They just simply be themselves. Adam and Eve don't even have to look for God. God just shows up and starts talking with them. God encourages them. God instructs them. They are friends in the garden. But of course, something separates that intimate friendship. And that something is sin. Adam and Eve wanted to become their own God. They no longer trusted that God had their best interests in mind. As everyone here knows, once you lose trust, you lose friendship. That intimate friendship was lost in that garden. A divide was formed, a chasm was there, a great valley that could not be crossed. Here we had God and here we had humanity, and in the middle was this big black wall of sin. And we see this throughout the Old Testament. What kind of relationship does God have with God's people in the Old Testament? Is it an intimate relationship of friendship? No. It's rules. It's laws. It's precepts. God is a judge. There is condemnation. There is wrath. There is blessing. Do what I say. Good things will happen. Go against my word. Bad things will happen to you. That is not the relationship of an intimate friend. That's the relationship of a taskmaster. God is some far distant entity that exists out there, and the people, God's people, Israel, are way over here. Think about the law, how it came to being. Israel's down here, God's way up there. Moses climbs up the mountain, talks to God, comes down the mountain and says to the people, here's what God says you should do. God's way over here. People are way over here. And we see that throughout the Old Testament. Break my rules, break my laws, bad things will happen to you. You sinned Israel, Babylonians coming. You sinned Israel, Egypt coming. Follow my word or else. There's a big chasm there. God's here and humanity's there. But as Christians, we rejoice. Because we have a bridge over that chasm. We have a ladder over that big black wall of sin, and that is Jesus Christ. And this is the Christ that we hear in today's reading, who has called us into intimate friendship. Christ says to his disciples, you are not my servants. You are not my slaves. You are not simply my students. You are my friends. All that the Father has handed on to me, all that God has taught me, I have taught to you. You are my friends. You live in me, Christ says, and I live in you. You are the vine that will bear good fruit. I am the stem. I am the trunk. And there's that trust relationship again. Because no branch can live without the trunk. But no trunk can live without the branch. The branch brings in the sun, it brings in the food, it brings in the shade, and the branch needs a trunk for strength, for growth, for nutrients. It's a free-flowing relationship. And that's the relationship that God has called us into. God has called us as friends. But it's a great relationship of trust. God trusts us. That's hard to believe. We see it in today's reading. Christ says, disciples, you're going to go forth. The day of my death is coming. There will a time will come when I will no longer be with you. The Holy Spirit will be gifted to you, but guess what? Then it's up to you. This ministry I've begun, this miraculous thing that has started amongst you, it's your job to take this out. To be my people in the world, to share this good news with others. God is trusting us to take this message into the world, to be God's ambassadors to those who we meet. That is a great trust. That is a sacred trust that God has placed into us. But it's a two-way street. We are called to trust as well. We have to trust that Christ is indeed God's Son. We have to trust that Christ indeed is that bridge that connects us with God in an intimate friendship. We have to trust that Christ died on that cross and that 3 days later Christ was raised from the dead. We have to trust that this thing, the Holy Spirit that Jesus speaks of, is actually present in our lives. That's a lot of trusting. And the big trust, the big issue of trust, we have to trust that God is God. That God is the Alpha and that God is the Omega. That God is the beginning and that God is the end. And when we trust that, that has big ramifications. Because if God was here before all this, that means God created all this. The wood in the pews you're sitting on, God made it. The fibers of the carpet that your feet are on, God made it. The silicon that makes up that glass in the windows, God made it. The paint that hangs in his walls, God made it. And if God existed before time, then God made time. Those 24 hours in your day, those 7 days in your week, those 30-odd days in your month, how many years in your life, all that time, God made that too. Starts to hit home. How about your possessions? Your home. Your bank account. Yourself. The things you cherish. God made those as well. We need to trust that God is God. That God is the Alpha. That God is the beginning of us, the creator of us, and that God is the Omega. That our end is in God. Our salvation, our eternity, our futures are in God. We start with God and we end with God. And nothing is outside of God. Not the trees outside, not the beautiful mountains, not the oceans, not ourselves, our wallets, our bank accounts, not our families. We are all encompassed inside of God. And this is that intimate friendship. This is that trust. God trusts us that we will be His people. That we will go into the world to proclaim the good news through our actions, through our words. And that we will use the gifts that are God's to begin with to do this. And we trust that God is God. And we trust that when we hand over our gifts, when we give over our time, when we use the gifts that we've been gifted with, gifts of administration, gifts of music, gifts of prayer, gifts of support, gifts of energy, we trust that when we hand these over to the church, to our community, to those in need, we trust that God will use them. We trust that God has created us for a purpose. That God has a purpose for each of us and a calling. We trust the words of the psalm that God knew us from the womb, that God named us, that God has counted the hairs upon our head, that God will not let us perish, that God will not let us suffer. We trust that we're somebody special to God. We are in an intimate friendship with God. And that's a lot of trusting. But that's how we act in our own lives with our most intimate friends. We trust them that when we share our hopes, our dreams, our aspirations, our fears with them, that they won't use them against us. We trust that they will give us a fair hearing. We trust that they will support us. We trust that when all others will abandon us, they will be there for us. And the same holds true with God. It happened to Christ. Christ said these words on his way to Jerusalem to face arrest and crucifixion. All Christ's disciples heard these words, "Yes, Jesus, we are your friends. We will stand with you to the end. You can count on us." And guess what? They all abandoned him. Except for God. And in our lives too, our closest, most intimate friend is God. Because God has promised to be with us till the end of the ages. And that's a great blessing. That's a great gift that we've been given. It all sounds so easy. Mine is God's. God is mine. We're great friends. Wow. But there's a problem. That chasm that still exists between us and God is still there. Christ has saved us from sin. Christ has provided us a bridge to God. We are in intimate friendship, but sin is still a present reality. We are saved from sin. We are liberated from sin. But as Paul tells us, we're still in bondage to sin. The fleshy side of ourselves, Paul says. The part that clings to the world. Well, this is the part of ourselves that questions this whole idea. This is the part of ourselves that believes, you know what? We live in a world of scarcity. We do not have enough. We do not have enough time, we do not have enough money, we do not have enough oil, enough energy, enough food, enough resources. The day of doom is coming, and I better outlast my neighbor. I gotta stockpile, I gotta save, I gotta be the chipmunk who's gathering all the nuts into the tree. I can't afford to give any away, I gotta prepare. Well, according to the Bible, the day of judgment is coming. But it's not found in a looming oil crisis. It's not found in a power outage. It's not found in empty supermarket shelves. It's found in the return of Christ. And that's a very different preparation that God calls us to make. But our sinful sides worry. We won't have enough. We'll do without. And we worry like that when we let our fleshy selves, as Paul says, when we let our bondage to sin take control of our lives to grip us. When we do that, we lose our intimate friendship with God because we've lost that trust. We no longer live as if we're trusting God. Because if we believe that God is our Alpha, that God is our Omega, that God is our beginning, that God is our end, and that God will see us through, We don't need to fear and worry. But if we want to be like those who want to become our own gods, if we want to be like those Israelites that walk for 40 years across the desert and try and save our manna overnight and squirrel it away so God didn't see it, it too will spoil. Just like our own spiritual lives. We are called to give freely. To recognize where our gifts, our possessions, our abilities come from. To prayerfully discern how we might use them. And then to go out and put them to the work of God, trusting that God uses those to His benefit. It's hard. It's difficult. It's challenging. But in it comes a great reward. Amen.